Preface to the First Edition. In 1789, the French West Indian colony of San Domingo supplied 2/3 of the overseas trade of France and was the greatest individual market for the European slave trade. It was an integral part of the economic life of the age, the greatest colony in the world, the pride of France, and the envy of every other imperialist nation. The whole structure rested on the labor of 500,000 slaves. In August 1791, after 2 years of the French Revolution and its repercussions in San Domingo, the slaves revolted. The struggle lasted for 12 years. The slaves defeated in turn the local whites and the soldiers of the French monarchy, a Spanish invasion, a British expedition of some 60,000 men, and a French expedition of similar size under Bonaparte's brother-in-law. The defeat of Bonaparte's expedition in 1803 resulted in the establishment of the Negro state of Haiti, which has lasted to this day. The revolt is the only successful slave revolt in history, and the odds it had to overcome is evidence of the magnitude of the interests that were involved. The transformation of slaves, trembling in hundreds before a single white man, into a people able to organize themselves and defeat the most powerful European nations of their day, is one of the great epics of revolutionary struggle and achievement. Why and how this happened is the theme of this book. By a phenomenon often observed, the individual leadership responsible for this unique achievement was almost entirely the work of a single man, Toussaint Louverture. Beauchamp, in the Biographie Universelle, calls Toussaint Louverture one of the most remarkable men of a period rich in remarkable men. He dominated from his entry until circumstances removed him from the scene. The history of the San Domingo Revolution will therefore largely be a record of his achievements and his political personality. The writer believes, and is confident the narrative will prove, that between 1789 and 1815, with the single exception of Bonaparte himself, no single figure appeared on the historical stage more greatly gifted than this Negro, a slave till he was 45. Yet Toussaint did not make the revolution. It was the revolution that made Toussaint. And even that is not the whole truth. The writing of history becomes ever more difficult. The power of God or the weakness of man, Christianity or the divine right of kings to govern wrong, can easily be made responsible for the downfall of states and the birth of new societies. Such elementary conceptions lend themselves willingly to narrative treatment. And from Tacitus to Macaulay, from Thucydides to Green, the traditionally famous historians have been more artists than scientists. They wrote so well because they saw so little. Today, by a natural reaction, we tend to a personification of the social forces, great men being merely or nearly instruments in the hands of economic destiny. As so often, the truth does not lie in between. Great men make history, but only such history as it is possible for them to make. Their freedom of achievement is limited by the necessities of their environment. To portray the limits of those necessities and the realization, complete or partial, of all possibilities, that is the true business of the historian. In a revolution, when the ceaseless, slow accumulation of centuries bursts into volcanic eruption, the meteoric flares and flights above are a meaningless chaos and lend themselves to infinite caprice and romanticism, unless the observer sees them always as projections of the subsoil from which they came. The writer has sought not only to analyze, but to demonstrate in their movement the economic forces of the age, their molding of society and politics, of men in the mass and individual men, the powerful reaction of these on their environment at one of those rare moments when society is at boiling point and therefore fluid. The analysis is the science, and the demonstration the art, which is history. The violent conflicts of our age enable our practice vision to see into the very bones of previous revolutions more easily than heretofore. Yet for that very reason, it is impossible to recollect historical emotions in that tranquility which a great English writer, too narrowly, associated with poetry alone. Tranquility today is either innate, the Philistine, or to be acquired only by a deliberate doping of the personality. It was in the stillness of a seaside suburb that could be heard most clearly and insistently the booming of Franco's heavy artillery, the rattle of Stalin's firing squads, and the fierce, shrill turmoil of the revolutionary movement striving for clarity and influence. Such is our age, and this book is of it, with something of the fever and the fret. Nor does the writer regret it. The book is the history of a revolution, and written under different circumstances, it would have been a different, but not necessarily a better book. C. L. R. James.